This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1449. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 25th, Dentro and Fuera Cubans, pirates from South America and Europe, strike at BBC, protest at All India Radio, clearing out 40 meters, off frequencies from Asia, new broadcasts from China, QSL news from Czechia and China, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. We begin with sad news of the deaths of three people you may recognize, even if you don't know their names. First is the voice of WWV, Don Elliott Heald. He died at the age of 86 in Georgia, according to an obituary in the Atlanta newspaper. Don Elliott Heald is best known around there as the former manager of WSB, who was also news director, and I think was also seen and heard on the air. Furthermore, he was the telephone voice of the Audichron time of day service for generations, and that no doubt is what led to his job as the time announcer on WWV. Fortunately, he only had to record all those numbers once and then retire from that job and then be heard for years and years afterwards worldwide. He died February 19th at the age of 86. Thanks to Brock Whaley and Alan First for sending on his obituary. And as Brock adds, services were held Tuesday at 19 hours, 0 minutes, coordinated universal time. Coincidentally, Mike Weisskopf, who's had a long project to put together a collection of archived recordings of WWV announcements under the title At the Tone, says he has just obtained what may be one of the earliest recordings of WWV's voice announcements. This was before Don Elliott Heald began doing it in May of 1955, recorded March 1st, 1955, with a different voice by the actor George Fenneman. Yes, you may remember him as the sidekick and announcer for Groucho Marx. And Mike has kindly put up this recording on his website, but he can only do it temporarily until March 1st. If you'd like to hear it, go to www.myke.me. Dan Ferguson sends news to the Nassar Group of the passing of Margaret Jaffe, or was it Jaffe, J-A-F-F-I-E. If you ever took a tour of VOA headquarters from 1974 to 94, you probably met her. She welcomed tens of thousands of visitors to the VOA, but died in Florida February 12th at the age of 88. She was one of Washington's best-known tour guides, walking more than 100,000 miles in leading visitors through the corridors of VOA. CDX Listening Digest 9016 for more about her, as well as about John Moritz, M-O-R-I-T-Z. If you're a longtime DX listener and or a member of NASWA, he was the editor of Shortwave Center and Flash Sheet in the late 70s and early 80s. John Herkimer found out, and Dan Ferguson passed on word that he died some time ago, November 2006, from a heart condition at the age of 59. By then, he had lost interest in the DX hobby, but was instead focused on local school sports programs in Youngstown, Ohio. Joe Wood in Greenback, Tennessee, was monitoring WWRB 3185 in Morrison, Tennessee, February 17th at 0305 to 325, during a nice program of swing music, including Chattanooga Choo Choo, In the Mood, and others. Yes, that's the film music that Dave France always plays when there's no paid programming. But then back to regular fare at 0330. Joe says the signal quality was excellent, exceeding local medium wave stations, and came close to local FM stations, in his report to the NASA flash sheet. I checked the map. His location, Greenback, is less than 100 miles, almost due east of Morrison, Tennessee, so apparently at that low frequency, he was already beyond the skip zone. We've also received various tidbits from Dave France at WWRB. In DX Listening Digest 9017, you can read about it there, talking about the new streaming he's started doing, his Beacon LYQ, and how it is fully authorized, contrary to rumors. As a result of our latest column in the March issue of Monitoring Times about radio teletype utility signals intruding within the exclusive shortwave broadcast bands, we've heard about that from Mike Chase Ortiz, who says, I was just discussing this by coincidence. I'm pretty certain that all three of these encrypted signals are U.S. Navy. 9830 and 12015 are not mentioned in ITU monitoring files, but the other one, 11687.5, has a bearing of 288 degrees from France. That points to Cutler, Maine, the big U.S. Navy communications station. Since France was not hearing the others, they could be on the West Coast, Dixon, California, or Hawaii, namely 9830 and 12015. Mike says when he gets a chance this summer, he's going to visit Cutler, Maine, to confirm whether that's really where 11687.5 is coming from. Contrary to popular belief, Cutler is alive and well on HF. An intriguing idea is reported on 4980 by Scott Barber in New Hampshire. February 21st, at midnight 18 to midnight 32 UT, some wind or stringed instrumental bits, animated speakers, a man and a woman. He could not make out very much. It was very poor and barely audible. Could it be Zhejiang PBS in China? He says, I can't recall the last time I heard anything on 4980. I suggest it could be the third harmonic of something on medium wave 1660, such as WWRU in New Jersey, which is Radio Korea. Or it could be yet another off-frequency all-India radio station, about which more in a moment. Others in Northeast America might want to check out 4980, see what they hear around midnight 30 UT. On 9810, February 19th at midnight 1, I was hearing some light Cuban jamming against nothing. Could it be a new Radio Republica transmission starting up? Yes, that's exactly what happened. Bernie O'Shea in Ontario was hearing that on 9810 from 0130 past 0300 UT February 23rd. Good signal, although jamming built up as the night wore on. Then we heard an announcement on Radio Republica confirming that they're using 9810 between 2300 and 0400 UT, or rather 6 to 11 p.m. Cuban time, 7 days a week. Trouble is, we heard this announcement not on 9810, but half an hour earlier on 9955, which they did not mention. That's the WRMI broadcast. Jeff White says they're leaving WRMI again at the end of February. We bet this new frequency, 9810, is once again via Sackville, Canada. The Cubans are well aware of it, jamming it heavily even before it comes on at 2300, as well as jamming 9955, but at least on February 24th, they were not jamming that very much until 2300, even though it started an hour earlier. The evening of February 19th into UT 20th was quite an unusual occasion, because I was getting Mexico on TV and FM. A very much off-season sporadic-y opening. Hardly ever happens in late February, but I was getting signals up to 100 megahertz, including, at the very same time, one FM station, each from three different cities down the Gulf Coast, Matamoros, Tampico, and Veracruz, on 93.9, 95.3, and 97.7. Plus another one on 99.7, probably also Veracruz, as well as a couple of stations on FM in South Texas. It all started with a nice opening from Channel 2 in Veracruz, with a bug in the upper right corner as Telever. And there was another opening the following night, but not nearly so good. It didn't get up into the FM band, at least not here. In Shortwave Bulletin Sweden, Bjorn Fransson reports on 4925.2, February 13th at 22:20, 40 minutes of romantic music in Spanish, which puzzled him. But at 23 UT, there was a big ID in Portuguese for Rádio Educação Rural in Chefé, Brazil. So there you go. If you hear Spanish, it could still be Brazil, at least as far as music being played. Via Arnaldo's line, we've had several notices from the operator of a longtime pirate in South America called Radio Cochiguas. He calls himself Cachito. He was on the air the previous weekend for long hours on 6307 kilohertz, as early as 2200 and as late as 1000 UT. To celebrate his station's anniversary, he said he would continue broadcasting every night through February, but using only 20 watts or 80 watts PEP, so if you can hear him, an excellent DX catch. Give it a try on 6307. There's a Euro pirate called Playback International, which had been on 6870, but reported by Terry Toop in Newfoundland February 21st. Still on the air at midnight 46 UT. He first heard it the previous UT day at 2104 with a variety of music, such as If You Could Read My Mind, Shut Up of Your Face, and I Like to Boogie. Quite a good signal, he says. Sinbo 44443. He didn't mention the frequency, but it must have been 6880, where it's also reported by Brian Clark in New Zealand a bit later at 0602 UT. And the following evening, also on 6880, by Brian Alexander, Pennsylvania, from 2315 to 2340. Last week, we mentioned that the BBC World Service was moving some of its program production for South Asia out of London to New Delhi. This has not gone over well with the labor union back in London. Kai Ludwig forwards a release from the National Union of Journalists, saying the BBC is planning to offshore all Hindi output, while London output of the Urdu and Nepali services would be cut in half. NUJ members working on the services say the plans would seriously jeopardize BBC's status as an independent international broadcaster. So a 24-hour strike on the South Asia service will take place on Thursday, February 26th. There's more about this in the Press Gazette in the UK. Sent on to us by Alakesh Gupta, India, in the DX India group. A BBC World Service spokesman was disappointed that the industrial action is going ahead, since they say they have already reduced the number of those facing redeployment from more than 30 to 10. More about Keith Perrone in Taiwan reviving a show called The Happy Station, starting March 11th. On WRMI. Still, we don't have the exact time. I hope we do by next week. He's also looking for other shortwave outlets. There'll be a podcast, and the publicity campaign is ramping up with press releases. You can also read about it at The Happy Station Yahoo Group. You can read the post there without actually joining if you like. And it's also on Facebook. We were happy to hear a good rollicking conversation with one of our valued contributors, Mike Cooper, on Club 9516 of Radio France International. You can hear the archived audio at their website. It's the February 22nd edition, www.rfi.fr. You're tuned for World of Radio 1449. Much more in the DXLD archive at worldofradio.org. Your contributions, always welcome, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Our thanks this week for financial support go to William T. Hassig in Illinois, who sent a check in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 7370-2, USA. In World DX Club Contact for February, news from Grant Skinner and Paul Manning that Radio Prague in Czechia has released an impressive new set of high-gloss, multicolored transportation QSL cards for this year, including several steam locomotives, a couple of rail cars, and a motor car with rail track wheels. To obtain one, send a reception report and ask for a railway transportation card. Otherwise, you may end up with a soccer card instead. This applies to their direct transmissions from Litomyshl in Czechia or relays via Ascension, Dushanbe, Krasnodar, Miami, Sackville, and Wooferton. Radio Belarus International has an English broadcast, which I have seldom heard. It's really intended for Europe, between 21 and 23 UT on 3.7 megahertz frequencies. But it does make it to North America. In Cumbre DX, Jim Evans in Tennessee reports hearing it on 7135, February 18th at 2212. He says a moderate signal with slightly muffled audio, a weaker signal on parallel 7360, and nothing heard on the other one, 7390. In Hardcore DX, Antonio Laurentino Garcia was also hearing 7135 in Brazil around 2200 UT, February 14th. Of course, 7135 is likely to be moved out of what will be an exclusive ham band from the end of March. Sergei Sosedkin in Moscow is excited about the new website of Russia Today Television. That's the visual equivalent of the Voice of Russia. He says the new design, additional features, and beefed-up content look pretty impressive and no comparison to the Voice of Russia's RUVR.RU. Check out www.russiatoday.com. He says there's even a Russian literature section with a comprehensive list of writers and poets. And English translations are published online in their entirety. Getting back to the subject of getting broadcast stations out of the 40-meter ham band, which is about to be extended up to 7,200 kilohertz worldwide, I notice that Radio Bulgaria has already deleted all its transmissions on 7,200 in preparation for the A09 season. I've not yet figured out what frequency or frequencies replaces 7,200. But that explains why Scott Barber in New Hampshire was hearing Radio Omdurman Sudan on 7200, unimpeded by Bulgaria, February 20th before and after 0300 in Arabic. And so was Robert McEntee, February 24th at 0305 with Arabic and Quranic recitations. He says it was very strong but weakening as day broke in Africa. And it remains to be seen whether Sudan will vacate 7200 since they don't seem to be involved with the HFCC. Theoretically, 7200 will become the boundary between the ham and the broadcast band, so that frequency itself should not be used by any station, and stations on either side should avoid having their sidebands leak over to the wrong side of 7200. Of course, in the Western Hemisphere only, hams are already using another 100 kilohertz up to 7300, and collisions with broadcasters will continue. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania has been picking up Ethiopian signals and measuring their frequencies carefully. Voice of Tigray Revolution, February 22nd, signing on at 0255 and heard for a half hour. He says they started on 5979.93 but slowly moved up to 5980.0 by 0301. And parallel to nearby 5950, but that's weak under WYFR. He was also hearing Radio Ethiopia, signing on at 0259, February 20th on 7110, and very weak on parallels 5989.33, 9704.18. Oops, 7110, there's another one that will be out of bounds in about a month. Yet more from Radio Ethiopia, reported by Brian Alexander. 9559.51 variable. That's signed on at 0659 with electronic keyboard interval signal. He says it was weak and constantly drifting between 9559.25 and 9559.67. Ron Howard in California picked up Djibouti by long path on 4780 Gray Lion reception, February 20th and 21st, between 1444 and 1515. He says their sunset is about 1517 UT and his sunrise was about 1450. He was hearing nonstop repetitive chanting and singing across the top of the hour. In DSWCI, DXwindo, Aki Peterson in Denmark reports a voice of Iranian Kurdistan via Salah al-Din in northern Iraq on 4849.86. February 11th, signing on at 0300 with Kurdish martial music and an ID at 0308. Called to prayer at 0309, but then an Iranian jammer started. Could it have been a Sunni Muslim prayer? Also, spurious signals from Iran's transmitter on 7125 in Turkish at 1600 to 1727, reported by the DARC ham radio bandwatch via BCDX. The spurs were on 7056 and 7194, approximately. These are from the Kamalabad site near Tehran. All India Radio in Imphal on 4775. It's been having transmitter problems, says Ron Howard in California, just an open carrier. Heard at 1424 UT, February 18th. A bit earlier, there was very faint audio. Then on February 22nd, he says both 4775 and Shillong on 4970 were completely off the air, nothing heard on either frequency. All India Radio Mumbai, 7195, has been off frequency for several days, as observed by Joe's Jacob in India via DX India. It was usually on 7190, as heard in the local mornings, but on one occasion recently it was on 7191, also reported by Abhikesh Gupta in India. This may explain why the All India Radio engineers may have something more important on their mind, such as carrying out a protest, as reported in SamaiLive.com via Abhikesh Gupta. Close to 600 AIR and television engineers protested wearing black badges, objecting to an amendment to the Broadcasting Act and asking for fulfillment of their service-related demands. It is a dispute over pay. DRM tests have been carried out for a broadcast engineering meeting in India. Publicity about that from DRM mentions something significant. H.R. Singh, engineer-in-chief of All India Radio, says we're in the process of converting four 250-kilowatt shortwave transmitters to the DRM mode by March of this year. There are plans to introduce DRM and high-power medium wave and shortwave transmitters on a large scale in the near future. Currently, they're running two shortwave DRM transmitters, one for domestic and one for international services. Via S. Hasegawa of NDXC, Hiroshi in Japan reports that the voice of Jinling, or Jinling Zhisheng, on 5860 in China has expanded its broadcast. It had been only 1130 to 14 UT, but now it's on the air all the way from 0100 to 1600. And they have an English ID, which he gives as Jiangsu Radio Impassioned, which doesn't make too much sense in English. It collides with Radio Farda between 0830 and 1400. Ron Howard in California says he's also hearing this in the clear between 14 and 1500. Hiroshi and S. Asegawa also report that CRI News Radio has started shortwave relays. It had been on medium wave and FM only in Beijing, but now it's heard between 12 and 14 UT on 9665 and 11790 via the Kashi transmitter site. Also reported in the Media Network blog, they have an English ID at 1300. A comment from Peter Sabry says that they put more programs on shortwave as a way to jam foreign broadcasters. With the National People's Congress coming up, jamming is five times more than at normal times. So these extra services could be only temporary. Peter Sabry also says on the Media Network blog comments that Beijing traffic radio is now being put on shortwave. That's just too funny. Being heard on 9545, 9760, 11540, 11860, 13520, and 15180. Ron Howard has heard an announcement confirming what he had been observing, that CNR2, China Business Radio's English evening program, has changed the schedule. As heard on 6065, among other frequencies, it's Monday through Friday from 13:30 to 14 UT, Saturday and Sunday a full hour at 13 to 1400. And DSWCI DX Window, Shinichi Shiraishi in Japan, reports that the Japanese section of China Radio International is issuing 56 electronic QSLs. They have a new one every 10 days, that is three different ones per month. This is to continue until September 20th of next year. I happen to hear this service in Japanese from China on 7220 around 1530 UT. Takahito Akabayashi in Japan reminds us that March 4th is the date for the close down of the Nazaki transmitter site near Tokyo, now used only for some utility transmissions, notably Tokyo Volmet on 2863, 6679, 8828, and 13882. As of 0440 UT, March 4th, these are all moved to the new site at Kagoshima Fishery Transmitting Station. Ron Howard in California notes that one of the few remaining Vietnamese regionals on shortwave, Son La, has been missing lately from 4739.6 variable. He usually hears it between 1320 and sign-off at 1401, but not on February 21st and 22nd. Martin Rode in Netherlands has heard a weak station on 6125.48 at 2220 to 2235. Believed to be Radio Republic Indonesia in Nabiri, quite a rare catch. S. Hasegawa in Japan confirms that's what it is, heard there between 2100 and 2130 by A. Ishida. Propagation outlook from Boulder, issued February 24th. ANK indices almost always 5 and 2, but with a peak to 12 and 4 on March 13th, and solar flux still stuck at only 70. Glenn Hauser here, concluding World of Radio 1449, and inviting you back next week.